Eastern time, Knicks up 1-0 in the series. 9:30 Eastern time in San Antonio, it's the Timberwolves and Spurs. Wolves up 1-0 in that series, and Minnesota guard Ayo Dosunmu is listed as available for tonight's game despite dealing with a calf injury. Anthony Edwards listed as questionable but is expected to play this evening. Lakers guard Luka Doncic told reporters today he doesn't know when he will return to action. Doncic says it's been frustrating as he hasn't played since April 2nd because of a hamstring strain. Lakers down 1-0 after losing game one of their series to the Thunder last night. Doncic added that the doctor who conducted the MRI in early April said it would be an 8-week injury. Former Braves owner and media mogul Ted Turner has died at the age of 87. Brewers lead the Cards in the 6th, 5-0. Rays over the Jays in the 8th, 2-0.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, the House representatives passed the 2026 farm bill called the Farm, Food, and National Security Act, and ag groups are expressing their appreciation. The National Pork Producers says the bill included 100% of the group's policy requests, including a fix for California's Prop 12. National Association of State Departments of Agriculture CEO Ted McKinney says the legislation supports farmers, ranchers, and consumers and provides economic growth for rural communities. A University of Illinois analysis shows the Middle East ceasefire has helped lower crude oil prices, but U.S. farmers are still facing sharply higher nitrogen fertilizer costs due to shipping disruptions. Ag economist Gerald Mashanji says fertilizer markets have not followed the recent decline in oil prices because traffic through the Strait of Hormuz remains well below pre-conflict levels. Higher insurance costs and continued risks have discouraged many ship owners from resuming normal routes. And new efforts by the Trump administration to impose import tariffs are drawing concern across the ag industry, where producers fear another round of retaliatory trade measures could weaken export demand. Farm groups are closely watching developments because previous tariff disputes led to reduced overseas purchases of soybeans, pork, and grains. Analysts say renewed trade friction could come at a difficult time for farmers already dealing with lower commodity prices and elevated production costs.
Activate your crop's defenses with Orbix from Helena. Orbix is a next-generation foliar nutritional that produces stronger, more productive crops by mitigating stress. It improves plant vitality with select plant extracts, high-analysis NPK and micronutrients enhanced with the efficiency of ENC formulation technology. Unleash yield potential in your crops this season with Orbix. Contact your Helena representative or authorized dealer for more information. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
The Northern Pulse Growers Association is proud to sponsor the Growing Pulse Crops podcast, your go-to resource for practical pulse production insights. Each episode features farmers, researchers, or industry experts sharing real-world tips to help you boost yields, manage pests and disease, and get the most from your pulse crops. Whether you grow peas, lentils, or chickpeas, you'll find information you can put to work on your farm right away. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or visit growingpulsecrops.com.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages are trying to hold on to gains in afternoon trading, fueled by optimism that a negotiated end to the Iranian conflict can be reached. Oil prices are sharply lower, with West Texas Intermediate crude at around $95 a barrel. Chip stocks are surging on strong earnings and AI optimism, with shares of Advanced Micro Devices jumping 16% after the chip maker posted stronger sales and higher profit. While Intel stock is up 3%, extending its strong rebound driven by renewed optimism around its AI and foundry turnaround story. Private sector hiring posted big gains in April, showing no effects from the Iranian war. 109,000 jobs were added to private payrolls last month, the fastest pace of job growth since January of 2025, according to ADP's private sector employment report. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
I'm alpine skier Michaela Schifrin. I've won the most World Cup ski races in history. But what does success mean to me? Success means discipline. It's teamwork. It's the drive and passion inside of us, and it's why Stifel is one of the fastest growing global wealth management firms in the country. If you're looking for success, surround yourself with the people who will get you there. If you're an advisor or investor, choose
This Fox Business News update on KPRL, brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
What happens to citizen participation when government units consolidate? I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by Mills Construction. For architectural, metal, roofing, and siding, call Aaron at 610-1256.
Yesterday, I discussed a study on local government reform which must have confounded the liberal establishment wherever it was read, because it gave the lie to that old saw that only big government can meet the needs of the people. The study to which I refer was done, I must admit, by a task force I appointed in 1973 when I was still governor of California. It was and is one of those rarities, a study done by a group of independent experts that came up with answers totally contrary to the conventional wisdom of our day. Some of these answers it found are worth repeating because they reflect feelings the average man finds difficult to express, and when he does express them, finds all too often that those in authority will not listen. For instance, the study found that the average citizen's satisfaction with government increases as the size of the governmental unit gets smaller. He also found that there's a strong desire among the people for decentralizing governmental authority and responsibility. In large central cities, there's also a significant demand for some form of neighborhood organization to affect the delivery of public goods and services. Power to the people, it seems, is more than just a radical slogan. It's also a need felt by a good many citizens. The study also finds that there's a strong preference by citizens toward maintaining the autonomy of local governments, and that they want to decide the structure of their local government at the ballot box rather than through the legislature or even through appointed local officials. Our study also took a look at local government reform in socialist Sweden, where they reduced the number of local governments from 2,500 to 250. They found that these things resulted: voter participation in local elections declined, citizen participation in volunteer civic and service organizations declined, local elected officials began to differ markedly from the bulk of their constituents and tended to follow the dictates of their consciences rather than the wishes of their constituents. And finally, the resistance of elected officials to spending programs decreased. It's all quite reminiscent of what's been happening here in America in recent years as government has grown bigger and more powerful. Here, too, voter participation has been declining. Fewer and fewer people are taking an interest in volunteer activities. It's easier to let the government do it. Too often our elected officials cease to represent us and instead inflict their views on us. And finally, you may have noticed, the bigger government gets, the bigger a chunk of our income it takes, and the more it spends on your behalf, whether you want it or not. A little bit of Sweden, it appears, is a little bit of knowledge. it can be a dangerous thing to our heritage of keeping government close, responsive, and responsible to the people. We've already lost a lot of that heritage. Only we, the people, can make sure that we don't lose it all. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter for Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. Today we're going to go over, before we get started, I want to tell everyone there is a search warrant being served by Ian Parkinson right now in Arroyo Grande at the home of Susan Flores. And for those that don't know what this is about, I think almost everyone in this county does. Paul Flores was convicted, I think 2022, for murdering Kristen Smart in the late 90s. They both went to Cal Poly together. However, her body was never found. And about 2 years ago, there were three scientists that did some soil testing next door to Susan's house. And what they found was that there appeared at some point to have been a body there. And I know there was some new information out because Susan's house has already been searched and there on more than one occasion. And there hasn't been a lot going on there, so I was a little surprised, but again, they had the three scientists, they did the testing came back that there had been human remains at some point in the backyard. They are there right now. They have search warrants, but interesting enough, they're also searching inside the house. They're in the backyard, they're inside the house, they're in the garage. Go to Cal Coast News. We do have a story up. I think this will be very interesting as it goes along. Even though Paul Flores is in prison, he will probably be in prison for life. He has tried to appeal multiple times and lost. They are still trying to find the body of Kristen Smart. And it has been a big issue with Deputy Detective Clint Cole. We've had him on the show multiple times. I'm going to contact him and see if he can come on and talk about today in the near future. And it's Ian Parkinson, when he first ran for sheriff, said he was going to make this a priority. And after, you know, over 20 years, Parkinson was able to get a conviction with the district attorney's office. And this is a big case. We'll keep you informed if we get any updates during the show. Today, we're going to go over some things going on in the county, and there is a lot. Let me tell you, there is a lot. We're going to be talking about not only the County Board of Supervisor meetings, some of the political debates, some of the upcoming taxes. And as you know, we have a new director, a little over a year now. Yep. Of CoLab, the Coalition of Labor, Alcohol, Agriculture, Business. What they do is they act as a watchdog for the county. They watch multiple government bodies for businesses. So if you own a company in San Luis Obispo County, and the Board of Supervisors or the Coastal Commission or LAFCO or someone is doing something that can impact your business, you don't have the time to watch all these businesses and keep track. That's where CoLab comes in. They go to the meetings, they watch the agendas. They are the watch. They do a great job performing a watchdog function for the community. Greg, thank you very much for coming on the show today.
Well, thanks, Karen. Glad to be here.
I wanted to start a little bit about this transportation tax kerfluffle. Could you tell the public what is going on and what do you expect to happen?
Sure. Well, it really goes back 10 years. An organization called SLOCOG, the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments, put a tax on the ballot 10 years ago to create a half-cent sales tax dedicated to transportation projects in the county. That measure lost by a few hundred votes. And since then, SLOCOG has been kind of looking for an opportunity to bring that back and run it by the voters once again. In the last couple of years, they've been refining the language to the measure and trying to make it more appealing to a lot of the public that is kind of skeptical about having extra tax money and where's it going to go and what will it be spent wisely and so forth. Well, they've prepared a measure. They got the language all ironed out, and they were ready to bring it to the public, and they started doing some polling and found that it was popular with about 55 to 57% of the people, of the voters, that is. And in order for SLOCOG to put it on the ballot, it would require a two-thirds measure or two-thirds majority to pass. And so people began to worry, well, if they don't have the two-thirds they're going to need, what's the point of putting it on the ballot? A lot of local business folks are concerned that our roads are falling apart. The County Board of Supervisors have been, I don't know if you want to call it malfeasance, negligence, or just idiocracy, but they've just stopped really putting any kind of priority towards transportation. And so our roads are falling apart. And we are one of the few counties in the state that aren't what we call a self-help county. In other words, if we don't tax ourselves somewhat to apply towards transportation, we're not eligible for a lot of state grants. Now, that's very irritating because that's our tax money that they're giving out in these state grants, and they're saying we're not eligible for our own tax money because we don't tax ourselves extra. So anyhow, another group came together and said, we're going to put the measure on the ballot via signature gathering. It's a citizens initiative is what they call it. And that would only require a 50% margin to pass. And so this organization got together. They raised a lot of money. I don't know exactly how much yet. Probably, I'm guessing, somewhere in the neighborhood of $400,000, and started gathering signatures. They just about got the 1,240 valid signatures they needed to put it on the ballot. And they realized there was an oversight in the petitions that they drew up. It didn't include some financial disclosure that is required by law. And so they really had no choice, but they had to stop what they were doing. Had they not done that, the measure would have been challenged in court. Probably the whole thing would have been thrown out and just have a whole nother mess on our hands. So we're left with, does SLOCOG still pursue putting it on the ballot? They still have the opportunity to do it because this would be for the November ballot. And they could put it on the ballot sometime in the next month or two and take a gamble at whether they can get the full two-thirds majority that they need to pass in November. But there's a lot of skepticism that they'll be able to reach that level. And so then, you know, people are questioning, is it even worth putting it on the ballot?
And for someone that's been around while we've done this over and over the decades, every time they put one of these on the ballot, they end up not doing a lot with roads. And it's never really panned out. When we had Debbie Arnold on the Board of Supervisors, she made spending on roads a priority. So there was a lot more done with roads when Debbie was on.
Right.
And it wasn't about raising a tax. It was about the county allotting resources. But then you, when Jimmy Paulding got on the board, one of the first things he did was say, we don't want that to be one of our priorities anymore.
Yeah.
And we want basically low cost housing.
Right.
And
right.
they pulled that off. Do you want it to pass?
I want our roads to get fixed. I'm really troubled by the cost of living already in our county. I'm okay. I'm comfortable, but I think it's very challenging for a lot of people, the cost of living. And you know, some people shrug their shoulders and say, "Well, what's a half a penny on a dollar? It's no big deal." But it is on top of all the other sales tax expenses that we have in our county. And in fact, our county has such a high level of sales tax that we had special legislation from Senator John Laird to increase our level of taxation so that we can be the highest sales tax county in the state. So, you know, we'd be up over 10% in some cases. Some counties, you know, have extra sales taxes already. And that's a lot of extra on top of whatever you're buying that you don't really know, you know, how much you get for it. But we have a $1 billion budget in the county, and our Jimmy Paulding sort of brags about how we dedicate $6 million to roads every year, and we've been doing that for the last 5 or 6 years. Well, $6 million even 6 years ago was woefully insufficient. Now you can barely fix a few potholes. You can't really do any road projects with $6 million. So that's where we are.
And the county as a whole, I don't know if people are looking at what's happened. First of all, California was putting out some really funky unemployment numbers. I've been watching the unemployment numbers for over 20 years. They come out once a month for the month before, and they come out on a Friday. And what started not making sense was suddenly you would see a raise in unemployment, and suddenly we had 3,000 more people that were workers, and then you'd have 4,000 gone at another time, and it almost seemed like manipulation, because I don't see how we have those kind of changes up and down. Well, now what's happened is, and I think this has a little bit to do with people self-deporting and other things, there's been a fairly major decrease in population in 2026. It's almost 1% statewide. And because of such a decrease in population, at the same time, all of a sudden, a lot of the people that were unemployed were able to get jobs. And our unemployment numbers are way down. And our population numbers are down.
Yeah.
And I think over time, when you have less unemployment and you have a more sustainable population, there's also a lot of the rents are dropping in some areas. And for example, if you drive around parts of North County, you'll see 1 month free at almost every apartment building you pass by. But I do see it getting to the economy, that's a big improvement. Unemployment and rent prices are also very important when you're looking at sustainability.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, getting it back to transportation a little bit, you know, looking at the 101 southbound out of San Luis Obispo down to Santa Maria every afternoon, starting at about 4 o'clock, it's bumper to bumper stop and go. And the same with, you go out through Edna Valley and go down Price Canyon to try to get around it. It's just bumper to bumper the whole way as well. And, you know, we are, a lot of the people that work in San Luis Obispo County can't really afford to live here. So they're living in Santa Maria, or they're living long ways out from the city where they work, and they're commuting, and that's tough on them. It's tough on our transportation system. And, it just adds up, and the cost of gas is going up. So we need to put a new focus on transportation here in the county. And I think it'll make a difference too for those people that are, you know, we're glad to see more people at work, but it's a lot more complicated to get there with the roads the way they are right now.
I have The only time I've seen them work on the roads is when you have supervisors putting the money toward roads. I have never seen one of these transportation tax actually make a difference in our county.
Well, you know, a couple of the cities, like I live in Atascadero, and we have a half-cent sales tax just in Atascadero, and they've been very accountable for the money that they've spent and the roads that they've fixed up, and we're pretty happy with what they're doing there. Slocock went a long ways towards trying to put guardrails around the spending and the way that it could be prioritized with the measure that they want to put on the ballot for November. But, you know, it really comes down to, do you have faith in whether the government's really going to do what it needs to with that money, or are they going to squander it on other things? Is it going to go to bike lanes and bus stops and, you know, transit development and that kind of thing? Or is it going to make life easier for all of us?
They're already talking about, if they get it, putting part of it into a bike path between Templeton and Atascadero. Yeah,
an outrageous $30 million bike path.
And is that really what people want their taxes to go up for, a bike path between the two cities?
Well, and the most irritating thing is, you know, not only are we paying sales taxes, but we're paying all kinds of taxes at the gas pump. We're paying taxes when we register our cars and pay the annual license fees and so forth. People on bikes, you know, God bless them, but they're not paying anything for riding their bike, for using those paths. All the people driving are the ones that are paying for those paths.
And what people are saying in San Luis Obispo, they put all that money into bike paths in their city, and their sales tax is down, their TOT tax is down, and people are not, I've talked to business owners, they may see a bike rider go by once a week, but we don't have parking for cars as much.
Yeah.
And then they built that new parking garage. And I went in there, and first of all, I'm going in there, and it's got a thing, and you push a button and nothing happens, and it says, if you're having problems, push this. I push that. They actually have a guy in an office. His face comes on and goes, and I said, it's free this month. Yes, it is. And he gives like a sales pitch on parking there. And I'm thinking, you made me, it took me an extra 5 minutes to park because you guys are playing games.
Yeah.
And you have somebody that you're paying an hourly wage to sit in a room and talk to people trying to park.
Yeah.
And you're telling us you're going to save money with this thing. And then I go park and I go to my thing and it's free. So I'm trying to leave, and I go out to go down, and a big car was coming up. I had to back out. We both couldn't pass each other because they had a big car. And I'm thinking, you made a parking garage at two cars, and I don't have a big car.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is kind of a bit of a mess.
Well, and they put the parking garage, you know, a long ways from downtown, and it's downhill, you know, so when you park there, you have to walk uphill, get into town. And I don't know, San Luis Obispo has kind of gone off the rails in my books. But, you know, they're paying the price for it. Look at the vacancies with all those stores downtown. And, you know, look at the kind of complications there are to do anything in that city anymore.
And their finances are in, first of all, their TOT's down, their sales tax is down. But even bigger than that, their property tax took a dive. The hospital, Sierra Vista, became a nonprofit. Yeah. It was one of their top property tax. Then they put they put two or three different buildings in the last 3 years, huge buildings, into nonprofit status. Every time they do that, there's no tax paid. So the city lost, those taxes pay for police and fire. And when your TOT is down, your property tax is down, and your sales tax is down, it's not a good sign.
No, and I think we're going to see, you know, sort of similar tidings on the county level. The county goes into its budget process starting a week from Tuesday. They're going to get their budget proposal from the staff. And there's a lot of sort of whispering around the Board of Supervisors right now that, you know, things are going to be very tight. And so a lot of it is going to depend, too, on the state's May revise, which I think comes out next week. We don't know if the state is upside down $18 to $20 billion, like the Legislative Analyst Office says, or if it's, you know, fat and happy with an extra $4 billion floating around if you listen to the governor. So we don't know. And when they pass out the May revised numbers, we'll know what kind of support we're going to get out of the state for our county. But we rely very heavily on state revenues.
And I'm noticing, for example, if you don't know this, Pismo is the most fiscally secure city in this county. They have more money. They can do lots of things. They redid their pier. They have money because they have a lot of hotels. One of the cities that didn't have a lot of money that does now is Atascadero, because they opened a number of new hotels and they're doing better. We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and be back with more with Greg Haskins of CoLab.
Usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
When it comes to selling your home in the North County, one agent can only do so much.
That's why we show up as a team.
I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Karen Peek.
And we're the Peek team.
And equal partners in every sale.
Pricing, marketing, negotiations.
We both do it all.
Two professionals reviewing every detail.
Two voices advocating for you at every step.
We tag team the work.
So nothing gets missed.
One mission.
Sell your home with minimized headaches.
We're the Peek team.
At Peek Realty.
And we work together for you.
Thinking about selling your home in North County? Reach the Peek team at Peek Realty. Just Google Peek Realty, that's P-E-E-K Realty. The Peek team at Peek Realty live wonderfully on the Central Coast.
DRE number 021-99910.
What's the latest news in Paso Robles? It's the grand reopening of the San Paso Truck Stop. The nationally acclaimed cheapest price fueling station in the county is launching its grand opening after a year of historical remodeling restoration. Tired of recent high gas prices? San Paso Truck Stop ranks among the lowest fuel prices in the state. The San Paso Truck Stop has everything you need for busy families and truckers alike. Find out why everyone is traveling to the corner of Wellsona Road and Highway 101. That's the San Paso Truck Stop, open 24/7.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealey, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoon. I have Greg Haskin from CoLab. Tell us again what CoLab is.
CoLab is the Coalition of Labor, Agriculture, and Business. We're a kind of a county watchdog group. We monitor county board of supervisors and other county agencies and kind of watch for common sense, accountability, transparency, and watch out for crazy things that they sometimes pull out of their hat.
And I think it's a great time to start this because there's so much going on in this county.
Yeah.
What do you think? I know, let's talk about Paso Robles. You guys watch the whole county. And I noticed that Paso Robles, they're also putting in some new hotels here.
Yeah.
So that should improve the business client or the TOT tax. But at the same time, they have five companies tied to the defense. And defense is one of the number one things that's going on in this country right now.
Absolutely.
Worldwide. There is a big push for people are wanting to have primarily drones. And we have five different companies that are primarily tied to Paso Robles around the airport. Do you see this being another generation, the spaceport and the drone manufacturing in North County?
Absolutely. In fact, it's not just the spaceport, but it's also tied to Vandenberg. And there's an enormous space industry complex growing not only in Vandenberg, but up through San Luis Obispo County. And we're seeing it a lot in San Luis City as well. But there's huge potential. It's fairly clean. It's high paying. It's high tech. The biggest challenge they have is finding affordable housing for their employees. And I think if we had a better housing market in our community, we would have even more of that kind of growth here in the county.
And I notice some areas, when I go to the Board of Supervisors, I notice that Jimmy Paulding and Bruce Gibson just want super low cost housing, primarily run by nonprofits.
Yeah.
And others are pushing all types of housing. And you, for example, there was a big fight over the new housing in Templeton, the 21 or 22 units of right. A gated community for doctors.
Uh-huh.
But what do you feel about, what do you think they should be pushing in housing?
Well, there was a big kerfuffle about this just 2 weeks ago at the Board of Supervisors meeting when they went over their RENA numbers, their regional housing needs assessment, and we are behind in all of those numbers. We're way behind in the very low income, but we're behind in low income and moderate in particular. And Supervisor Gibson pushed to direct the staff to put all emphasis on very low and low income housing. And Supervisor Moreno and Pichon pushed back and pointed out that, you know, if you put an emphasis on one, it's at the cost of the others. And we have a housing cost or a housing crisis across the board, whether you're, you know, trying to get the very lowest income property available or if you're very comfortable and getting a nice, you know, retirement home, whatever it is, there's a shortage on every level. And if we start playing games and start putting an emphasis on one at the cost of the others, it's just going to exasperate the problem.
I agree. Very much. With the population declining slightly, and in the last, I think we had 3 years of very minor declines. We had 1 year with a pretty major decline. This year, California has already got almost 1% decline. And the amount of housing that is currently being built, do you see that that's having an impact?
I haven't watched the market much lately. I know when I try to make an appointment with a medical service, whether it's a doctor or, some kind of a x-rays or whatever it is, the wait is outrageous and ridiculous. And, I talk to doctors that I know and other health experts, and they all say the same thing. It's just a lot of doctors choose not to live here because it costs too much and they move on to other places. And so there's a shortage of medical personnel, and there's a shortage of all kinds of personnel. So if it was easier to live here, we'd have more people living here. We're paying the price for housing shortages. I mean, whether you go to fast food, you go out to breakfast in the morning, you buy stuff at retail, whatever it is, you're paying the price for housing shortages because people are having to pay higher wages to keep employees so they can afford to live and work where we live.
I think the other big issue right now also is the grapes, though. The wine industry is down.
Yeah.
I think that's going to have somewhat of an impact. And it's, I looked at the unemployment numbers. Job gains were seen primarily in the hospitality sector.
Yeah. Yeah. And the hospitality sector in our county is a huge contributor to our economy, which is another warning sign.
Well, it's always been a huge contributor, though.
Yeah.
That's always been first or second for decades and decades.
But now we're dependent on the wine industry to do well.
Yes, we are, and that's going to be, I do think it's going to be interesting what they're going to do to replace that. We're going to take our top of the hour break and be back with more with Greg Haskin.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.